did share last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and today, being the Sunday after Pentecost Sunday, is Trinity Sunday. We began sharing about the Holy Spirit last week and how the Holy Spirit is a He, is a person, not an it. I wanted to share about today how He is in you and in me. Our scripture for this morning comes from the 8th chapter of Romans, and we're beginning with the 9th verse. Paul says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory." The Word of God for the people of God. The word Trinity isn't in the Bible. We won't find that word, but we certainly see the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We see them throughout Scripture. They're at work from the beginning to the end. At creation, we see the Spirit of God moving before the creation even began. There in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Later in that chapter, "Let us make mankind in our image." Alludes to that the Trinity was there and active even at creation. We hear about the Trinity together in the Great Commission, as Jesus said that we are to go out and make disciples in the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Spirit. And Peter, as he opens his first letter that we have in the New Testament, he talks about the Father's foreknowledge and the Spirit's sanctification as we're obedient to the Son. But I think the biggest picture of the Trinity for me is at Jesus' baptism, as we read about that in the Gospels. As Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized, we see there in Scripture that a voice from heaven is heard that says, "This is my Son. With Him I am well pleased." And so we see the Father is present at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus Himself, the Son, is obviously there. And as Jesus comes up out of the water, Scripture tells us that the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God came down upon them in the form of a dove. And there we see the Trinity, the three at work. We see the presence of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the personhood of the Holy Spirit last week. And today, as we think about His presence, I think of a book that I recently started reading, bought it a few months ago, but it's written by Ann Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham, entitled Jesus and Me. And in it, she speaks of the Spirit's presence in eternity and in history and in humanity. You know, as we look throughout the Scripture, we can see the Holy Spirit's presence throughout. And I already mentioned there in Genesis, but He came upon persons in the Old Testament. He came upon David. He came upon Gideon. We sort of sometimes skip over it. At least I used to do that, is maybe when I was younger and didn't, oh, here's that Holy Spirit thing. But it would say the Spirit of God came upon someone. Even some obscure people, we may not even know this, the Spirit came upon Zerubbabel when he built the temple there in Jerusalem. But we find Him coming upon Isaiah and Ezekiel. And we see that the Spirit of God moves in their lives. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. He would come upon persons. He would His presence would be made known to them, and they would know what God wanted them to be doing. And they'd be there to empower them. We talked about last week as he arrived on the day of Pentecost and came as flames upon people's head. That was his arrival after the ascension of Jesus. Jesus had promised that he would be sent. And he certainly came in a mighty way on that day of Pentecost. And as we read throughout the New Testament, we find that there's this permanent presence that he has within the believer. It's a 24/7 presence. I shared last week with that spiritual house that as we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, it's actually the Holy Spirit's person that comes into our spiritual house. And I pray that all of us allow him freedom to move about in our house and not just sit him in that front of that picture window. But he's the one that comes in and abides within us 24/7. We're never alone. We always have the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is part of this Trinity, these three at work, because he indeed is God. And so we are never alone, no matter the circumstances of life. But not only do I want us to think about his presence, but I want to think about a more descriptive word of his presence in our lives. And it's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It just gives to me a better picture of what it means for him to have residence in our spiritual house, that be a part of our lives. Vance Havener once said, "You can become a Christian by going to church just about as easily as you can become an automobile by sleeping in a garage." And we all know we can't become an automobile just because we're sleeping in a garage. It's the same, just showing up at church is not what makes us a Christian. It's that invitation of Jesus into our lives. And it's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes us the Christian that we are. That's what Paul is talking about here in Romans 8. If we go clear back to the first verse, he's talking about living by the Spirit, being in step with the Spirit, allowing his presence in our lives, this indwelling. He is actively at work in our lives. That's what I mean by the word indwelling. I believe that's what Christian teachings mean by that. It's more than just the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's his indwelling. He is the person that we talked about last week. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He's a counselor. When we cry out, "God, help me," it is the Holy Spirit who is there. When we cry out, "Jesus, help me," it is the Holy Spirit who is there. He's the one that indwells. He's the one that is working this activity in our lives. He's the one that brings the help. And it's okay because he's God. And so when we cry out to God, when we cry out to Jesus, when we cry out to the Spirit, we're crying out to the Trinity God, the Triune God, the three, yet one. Whatever issues of life we are going through, he is there. Whatever path he is leading us down, he is there. He doesn't say, "Hey, you go off and do that." He leads us. He's right there with us every step of the way. Be quite honest, he's actually preparing the way and clearing the path. And we just need to follow that indwelling Spirit. We also see in our scripture today an affirmation that we are part of the family. We're part of the family of God. As we accepted Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and makes his presence known. He indwells us. And our scripture today reminds us that he is the one who affirms that we are part of the family. We are God's children. We are so much part of the family that Paul writes here that we can cry out, "Abba, Father," which in some of my studies over the years that I've seen, that Abba is Aramaic, but it would be much in the same way. It's an endearing term. It's just not a title. It's an endearing term. And so most of us in America, in our English, would say dad or daddy. Sometimes we may call our father in a very endearing term. But Abba, as it's here in this context, Paul is saying we are so much part of the family, we can call God the Father, we can call him Dad, we can call him Daddy. That's how much we're part of the family of God. We're joint heirs with Christ, our scripture says today. It is the Spirit who testifies or affirms our relationship with the Trinity, that triune God, three yet one. This intimate family relationship that we have with the Creator of the universe. It's important to understand that we are His children. And it is the Holy Spirit who affirms that for us. Craig Barnes shared a sermon back in May of 1999 called The Blessed Trinity. Probably it was on Trinity Sunday, since it's in about this time frame. But he shared it with the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. And these are the words that he shared. He said, "When I was a child, my father brought home a 12-year-old boy named Roger, whose parents had died from a drug overdose. There was no one to care for Roger, so my folks decided they would raise him as their own. At first, it was difficult for Roger to adjust to his new home. Several times a day, I heard my parents saying to Roger, 'No, no, that's not how we behave in this family. No, no, you don't have to scream or fight or hurt other people to get what you want. No, no, Roger, we expect you to show respect in this family.' In time, Roger began to change. Did he have to make those changes to become part of the family? No. He was part of the family by the grace of my father. But did he have to work hard because he was in the family? You bet he did. It was tough for Roger to change, and he had to work at it. But he was motivated by gratitude for the amazing love he had received. Do you have a lot of hard work to do now that the Spirit has adopted you into God's family? Certainly. But not to become a son or daughter of the Heavenly Father. No, you make those changes because you are a son or daughter. And every time you start to revert back to the old addictions to sin, the Holy Spirit will say to you, 'No, no, that's not how we act in this family.'" I appreciate those words of Craig Barnes. And they're very true for us as we think about the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, His indwelling, and His affirmation that we are indeed children of God. The moment Jesus comes into our lives, we're a child of God. We don't have to work to become a child. We are immediately adopted. All the spiritual legal papers are done. We're His children. And now, as the Holy Spirit indwells us, there's going to be times He's going to remind us that's not how we act in God's family. As we think about this family of God, the question for each of us today, are you adopted? Have you been adopted by God the Father, by accepting God the Son, and then being affirmed as a child by God the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who testifies that you are a child of God. I pray that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that you are indeed part of the family of God.